Church, it's good to be with you, and thanks, Dave, for leading us thus far. Really blessed in communion as we share together in bread and wine and the remembrance of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, that my salvation has been secure. And we know that one day Jesus is coming back. Until that time, we have a job to do for him. And every time we come to church, we can be equipped further in the tasks that lay before us. And when we've got God's word before us, we know that God will equip us with these things. I'll be sharing this morning how to be a giant killer. And whenever I read the story and hear the story of David and Goliath, I think back to Numbers 13 and 14, where there God had promised the Israelites land on the other side of the Jordan, but they stopped short of going over, and we know that they sent out spies to see what was on the other side of that river. And 10 of the spies came back absolutely terrified because they had seen these giants. And they came back and they said, actually, in relation to these giants, we are like grasshoppers. These men are so big. And they were very fearful. But two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, and they'd seen these same giants with the other spies, and they had tried their best to get the people to go over the Jordan. But the people listened to the majority report, and so they refused to do battle with the giants the other side of the Jordan. And as a result of that, they were condemned to 38 more years of just wandering around in the wilderness. And they did that until that faithless generation died. You fast forward 38 years, and they arrive back at the Jordan, and Moses encourages them, he speaks to them, and he says, look, the giants are still the other side of the river. What were they going to do? And so these giants had to be faced, and they went across. Friends, we all face giants. Giants are everywhere. And the bottom line is this: we may not want to face our giants. We might want to run away from them in fear. We might want to avoid them at all cost and hope that they will just go away. But giants need to be faced, and they can be defeated. And this passage that Colin read to us this morning presents David as a young man filled with faith in God. David is a young man who is not afraid to battle with the giants in life. And he went out in the name of the Lord, and we know the story. David was a giant killer. And friends, in these days in which we live, each one of us can also be a giant killer. And this morning, I am sure the majority of us here in this church will be or are currently facing some giants. What can we learn from the story of David this morning? There are three things that I would like us to consider. And the first one is that we need to exhibit the right motives. A little background relating to the story might help here. David's father, Jesse, he had sent David to bring supplies to some of David's other brothers who were on the battlefield, and they were fighting in Saul's army. And when David arrives at the battlefield, he finds Saul and he finds the rest of the army. They're actually cowering in fear because of what is before them. And the giant Goliath is taunting these people. And it seems that the Philistines here and Israel were carrying out an ages-old custom or a ritual. And each army would produce a champion, and these champions would fight each other to death, and the side which won the battle would claim victory over the enemy. And the loser of that people would become the servants of the victor's people. Of course, the champion chosen by the Philistines was no ordinary soldier. Simon, a few weeks ago, described Goliath. He was some 9 foot 9 inches tall. He wore armor that weighed 80 kilograms. He carried a spear that weighed 15 kilograms. And this monster was covered in brass from head to toe. Quite a formidable opponent. And for 40 mornings, 40 evenings, this giant had been taunting the armies of Israel. And they'd been challenged to send out a man to do battle with him. And for 40 days, the Israelites heard these challenges, and they retreated back into their tents because of great fear. However, this day was different. Goliath and his challenges had been heard and seen by David. And David's faith and confidence in God rises up to the challenge before this people. And he offers to go out and fight Goliath. And when David spoke of killing the giant, his motives were questioned. Some people thought that David was motivated because of a financial reward. You know, we live in a finance center in Guernsey. Our tax position is different to the UK. And there was seemingly some tax advantage, if you read the scripture, about David going out and fighting Goliath. And his brother was speaking out of jealousy, and he tried to accuse David of promoting himself. And we know that the brothers knew that David had been anointed by Samuel, and all this was going on in the background. But what were David's true motives? Perhaps David saw the offer of Saul as a stepping stone to the throne of Israel. And as we read the story, we see that David's heart was motivated by two things. It wasn't money, it wasn't fame, it wasn't power. I think he was motivated, firstly, because he wanted the glory of God to be highlighted. Goliath was mocking God, and he was mocking the people of Israel. And David couldn't stand the thought of this happening. But also his role as a newly anointed king. Just as David had protected the sheep from the attacks of the lion and the bear, he wanted to protect Israel from the attack of Goliath. And this morning, friends, as we face giants in our lives, we need to ask that question: why do we want those giants defeated? What is the motive? For an easier life? bragging rights, power in the eyes of others, or simply to feel better? What is the motive? And I would suggest, friends, there are two motives, proper motives, for wanting to see our giants defeated. Like David, a desire for God's glory to be raised up. It says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And secondly, a desire for God's plan to be fulfilled in our own lives. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." I believe it is part of God's plan that we should face giants. It may be part of God's plan that we see these giants defeated. Sometimes we don't see giants defeated in the instant, in the moment that we would want them to be defeated, is because we are operating from wrong motives. It says in James 4 and verse 3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss." It's important that we adhere to God's will at all times. And secondly, we have to have the right methods. When David's plan to kill the giant reached the ears of King Saul, he joined the chorus of naysayers telling David that he could not do the job. Yeah, what a group of cheerleaders and encouragers they were. Then hearing that David was determined in this matter, Saul offered him his own armor. And Saul tried to dress David in that armor. And David was determined that he would go into battle with the things that had worked with him in the past. David knew that God had been with him previously, and he was convinced that God would be with him in the present. David did not know a thing about shields or spears or swords because he wasn't schooled in armies or in armor. And yet David knew God. And that was fundamental. That was essential. He knew that God had given him the victory in the past, and he knew that God would provide victory in the current and in the future, because his God does not change. And our God this morning does not change. David knew that God was greater than any giant. And he also knew that God had a plan for his life. And so when David went out to fight, he took those things that had worked for him in the past. He took his staff, his sling, and 5 smooth stones, the Bible tells us, even though he only needed 1 stone. You know, we can try any method we please to defeat the giants in our lives. We can attend the latest seminars. We can read the newest books. We can climb on the latest bandwagon. But when it is all said and done, if we want to see giants defeated in our lives, we need to believe in basic principles. Firstly, that God is greater than our giants. In Ephesians 4 and 20, it says, Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Secondly, the God who worked in David's life still works today. In Malachi 3 and 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." What a statement, but what a confidence for us, friends, this morning in church, that our God does not change. Wonderful. And we don't need new methods to defeat our giants. We need to return time and time again to the proven weapons of prayer and the Word of God and faith. These things will still get the job done today. We know in Ephesians 6 we have that wonderful chapter about the armor of God, and how throughout that prayer is so important. Prayer is the believer's greatest secret weapon. We know on the physical battlefield, communication has always been an issue. In the battle of life, the saints of God, we can be in constant contact to the throne of grace. God is only a prayer away. But the Word of God, and as it's been read to us this morning in Hebrews 4 and 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." This was Jesus' method, we remember, when he was faced by the devil, and the temptation, and the wilderness. Jesus quoted scripture. And also, we have faith, knowing that God always gives the victory. But fourthly, God did not save us just to let us fall at the hand of our giants. It says in Philippians 1 and verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until encouragement in the days in which we live, until Christ comes back." God is not interested in our defeats. He is interested, even this morning, in our victories. The third point this morning is that we must expect miracles. David walked down into that valley into an impossible situation. Said earlier, he was doubted by some. He was ridiculed by Goliath himself. Yet David's faith allowed him to accomplish everything that fear had earlier denied Saul and the others. And David declared victory and the glory of God even before the battle was fought. And this is the essence of faith. Faith will allow us to give our victory speech even before we fight the battle. Faith took up the challenge that day. Faith walked down into the valley. Faith faced the giant. Faith hurled that stone, and faith saw that giant come tumbling ground. And faith received the victory. Friends, we must never underestimate the power of faith in our battles. We may not see giants fall the instant we exercise faith in God. We mustn't let hope disappear. It may look that we are being outnumbered in an impossible situation. It looked that way for David at one point. It looked that way for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. It looked that way for Daniel in the lion's den. It looked that way for the disciples on the ship when they were being tossed around. It looked that way for Jesus on the cross to the people looking on. Can I remind us this morning that God always specializes in doing the impossible? What was it that the angel said to Mary in Luke 1:37? For with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. And if we will only bring our hopelessness and impossible situations to him, and then go out and face it in faith, we will see God snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. Still there? Of course he is. Only now, he is 10 foot long, and not when he was concluding his letter to the Roman believers, said this, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And that's where Satan belongs, under our feet. And so in conclusion this morning, as Steve and the musicians come back, what kind of giants are we facing? Whether it be the giant of sin or some difficulty in life, it can be defeated by the power of God. We need to bring our giants before God this morning. I believe many of us are facing giants right in these moments. When we look back over our lives, remember when the times when God moved mountains, he parted seas, we can testify with God this morning, nothing is too difficult. Nothing is impossible for our God. And he can still do it in these moments. We need to bring our giants before him this morning. I've brought some David pebbles with me this morning. David only needed one stone. Either side of the lectern, they're in a little pouch. And as we sing our closing song this morning, if you are able to come up and take a pebble, go back to your seat. If you're not able, ask the person sitting next to you to get one for you. But if you want prayer this morning to help you with the giant that you are facing, just stay at the front of the church as you collect your pebble, and the elders, myself, will be pleased to pray with you and encourage you. As the Holy Spirit moves amongst us, I believe God is wanting to do business with us as his people this morning. We must tap into God's power supply, tap into his presence, and see and magnify the Lord as we do so. So let's stand and sing our closing song this morning. It's a song which we